These are two short poems written in Irish, but I think they're translations. The first is about a famous painting by Turner, who was once a painter of light. It's called The Fighting Temeraire. It was a battleship returning destroyed, battered and broken from the Battle of Trafalgar, being put into the harbour by a tug with a steamboat. So I think, I don't think that's a connoisseur of art, but I think Turner meant to convey the idea of the taking over of the steam from the sailing ships. Temeraire. I fearsome the victu is the fighting temeraire, the Joseph M. W. Turner. Who could each see how a hurt set a faint tail, school matty her cock, and lady gum rascal? Now it is in the loom of a hexha, the loosh the head from heart, the saw the ring the door. The Maria food in the leetinger, boost the slow at halfer, the hunty through my humble pen. Him to one temeraire in equal vester, not the ether touch and plead a solish. Lay being an air, her smith of the mod, so goes and twiddly goil the rash on moss. But your elation here, so long the dull twee live the coon, pipes a catches raid the basket, and youths the cross the father, in a honung of divers copied. Fi o'r dwf o'n tog i'r son y swyllde, y tog o'r dîs fwy o'n la yn gaelau. Bos yn cael ein siolta, dior o'r ffodd alais yng Nghyn, yr chi eich eich o'r yn temereir, dyrsia, a ddach eich oed yn polish. They call you a loner, but have been connoisseur, savant above all common men. Your tribe were busy toilers in tune with silence below the Dacklands bulk. Fair ships gliding past your mind, calling to your soul while dropping sail. See the Temeraire returning on the tide of golden light, airs crystal clear above debris, the noble spirit lifting from the slaughter. Sun's rays are tears now, beauty in the harbour sink. The cruel battering ram prepares to make her a ghost. Yet she is gone in shreds of shattered oak and copper, that small black tug railing. Death to the sail, announce the birth of steam to quench St. Elmo's fire. Sun's rays are bloodied tears for this cottage, and all for you, O painter of light. Paul had a poem there about a child being born in spring. This is about a child, a grandson of a friend of mine, who was born in late summer, autumn, August. They called him Rowan, R-O-W-A-N, like the Rowan tree. So I looked up a bit of folklore and background characteristics about the Rowan and tried to transfer them to my bishops of the child. It's very short, and he's 6 months, I think. Don the Rowan. It's Rowan Pussa, a vacuum that it's not Christopher the Joe who has been. Gabon Sir Moor Green on Fraw. The maelid yn nos o gael, na hwrt o ffater si ffiwnys, na tŵ o hiasyn a chi hau, i dreul eich hws o gsef, y sydd o ddeth neud o'ch o. Ys mae lach sroi na chanw, sto chwef o darga. Ys mae hw ffos yn cael o gyrwydde, chi'n gall o gronda. Bar Rowan. Welcome Rowan, handsome child, may no one call you otherwise. May you grow strong and hearty, as your namesake Rowan tree. Noted for serenity, standing back from the crowd, so placid and contented, you smile at passers-by. You like our city streets and your own red bellies. You know you can manage witches too, isn't that something else?
Your mother, Barney, I think she's in her own. So, in next up, there's another person who's no stranger to Ovale, Miss Rosalind Bloom.
Yay! Thank you very much. I really enjoyed listening to that Irish there. I'm currently learning. One of those adult learners, foreigners, trying to acquire. It's actually very interesting. I'm enjoying the experience. I'll tell you more as I learn more. The poem I'm choosing for today, I don't know if I've ever read it here. It is Central. Yes, I have. Only very recently, anyway. It's essential, and it uses quotes from Wordsworth and Bolton, and it's called poetry. As I read and read and read, you writers of ancient truth, you rebels of fiery youth, words for a world in need, words for a world in need. My head begins to lead, my heart, my hand to the poet's land. Perception thief, I hear and see, evoke the spirit of poetry. My heart leaps up, it almost hurts, as I feel the seething power of images in these strong words, an ancient, eternal flower. You poets full my mind do fill, my soul is overflowing. While writing down, I compose still, my ideas are still growing. So many thoughts enter my mind, too much, and I forget. Just time allows me to find those pictures in my head. And every time I read the prophets in this art. More flowers grow from little seed, a beauty in my heart. As I found and formed in me this the beautiful desire, I give this back so gratefully, which you helped me inspire. But oft I thought to live eternally in rest, to life I brought, well for the world expressed. I wish to set this world alight, to show and to reveal, to give a hand to this place to heal, I want to write and write.
Okay, that's last call there. Okay. So let me direct right. The far ball. Two scripts in car hook. Steve Ball over there done.
Before Paul read it, I didn't know if he was going to read exclusively in Irish or if he was going to translate, so it's a thank you for translation. Translating. Thank God he read Ospirla. Thank God he read Ospirla, for my Irish vocabulary consists of Osgielga Ospirla agus Madra. There it concludes with a D in the ordinary level Irish leaving certificate, and memories of clips around the air from a vicious ban on tea on the west coast of Ira in those strange and still bewildering Irish-speaking zones. So, Gareth Mila Malgut for speaking the Queen's.
Okay, Gun Hill and Irish. Currently part of the Russell Donovan.
I was going to reread a poem that I read previously, so trying to keep with new material, like, just read this. It's taken from some work I'm doing online, the internet, and just basically how you're going to get sidetracked through different sites, and how when I send messages, that even some of these sites want to charge me 8 cents to review the messages I've already sent. Therefore, the replies that I get are uncomprehensible to me, or just don't understand unless I've sent, unless I get to see the message which I followed already, basically. So, this is I can't, because of a short term memory of not being able to send out so many different messages, trying to review those, the replies that I get back from them are kind of so vague, because of vagueness of what I sent out, I don't know what the whole conversation line was like. So
I'm with you.
I've even sent out emails to sites requesting information about their terms and conditions, and got this very convenient reply of, "Your account does not exist, so we cannot assist you." It's an extremely smart loop system. So, here's a sample of what I sent to them as a reply. As I have said before, no account exists, as I have not set up one yet. I would like to have some terms and conditions explained before I join. All right. Thank you for your patience and understanding. and here is just a fictitious reply that I made up from them as what I'd like them to send back to me. So it's hearusblank.com. We value all our members' opinions, just not their rights. So let me take the opportunity to send you another admin automated response, as we do not have the time or resources to deal with such petty inquiries. What we would suggest is that you get drunk and have some messy sex with a complete randomer, and maybe this might satisfy you. Your email has been put into our spam mail, and as soon as we will not take the time to answer your question in a more creative or productive way, we will continue to keep you in a loop until A, you get bored and give up, B, you get frustrated that your typing skills become illegible, C, you just continue to blame the sites for your poor results and not your attitude, or D, just agree to it first of all, and we will tell you afterwards literally how we screwed you.
Typing in all caps.
Typing in all caps.
Yes, cap lock. Okay. Next up, the open mic, please, we'll have Tina Pisco, whose book is coming out very, very soon, but I'm not allowed to tell you that because you said me yourself.
No, I'm
sorry. It's Thursday week, anyway. It's been launched in the city library, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You're all welcome. Also, I just want to mention, for all of you who don't know, the Roundy, the first Friday of every month, is doing a really fun evening between Mutant Cabaret, which are Cork spoken word performance people, and singer-songwriters, and the Gore Sessions, which if you're ever in Dublin on a Monday night at the International Bar, is great fun. And this Friday, in the Roundy at 9, there's a Mutant Cabaret versus the Gore Sessions. So do come around, it's going to be great fun. Jeez, I don't know. Oh, I know. Since I won the 5-word challenge, I will read 2 poems that got into my collection that were originally 5-word challenges, actually. Actually, there's 3 poems in here. One of them wasn't a 5-word challenge from here, it was a 5-word challenge I set for my students. And then I thought, oh, God, that's nice. I keep that. This is called Wallflower. And the cool thing about the 5-word challenges that I like is I don't know who writes these poems. Do you know when there's you get the 5 words and there's somebody else writing them, but it's something. Wallflower. When I saw you up there dancing on the table, my instinctive need was to join you. Your spectacular dexterity thrilled me. Your nimble feet enthralled me. Your strong hands called me. Your green eyes undressed me. But as I stood up, my heart pounding, a tall redhead behind me clamped a long-stemmed rose in her teeth, tossed her hair and leapt up beside you, leaving me standing, stranded, longing and lost, pretending to smile, hiding my shame behind prim, polite applause.
Yeah, there's
another one. I keep reading out of this. I'm not going to have any more poems to read at this. I'm going to have to write some more. Housewife's Lament. What honor is there in retirement from a life making things tidy? Where is my golden clothes pin, my mounted broom, my trophy dishcloth? Will my husband and kids even notice I'm gone before the laundry piles up and blocks the front door? Where is my Adonis, tickling my veil with feathered fans, dangling grapes above my lips as I lie back, contented and content, on a bed of roses? I take your white Y-fronts from the dryer and fold them once again. Oh, I could tell you more of my pain, but it's time to collect the smallies from play school.
So, Neil, up true or fuck, are an open mic image. There's only 3 left on the open mic. So if anybody else can put their name down, we've probably got time for... For you. And so, next up, Julie Fee.
Siobhan Scrimi, cwbl mi i ni ffordd yn faml at mae gan mynd o'r eisiau. Gwyd mi faml, ti'n fel y ffi, a hand of all to share the river leer, upon each of the finest, a cushion velvet maroon, a restoring coulanta, a goon in a bad genius. Quid me vamo, in Livagon, the horn, a tall crocodile, the hollow, the quaker green moon. It's near Tien of Kushna, or law of the law, my last green in the winter, a cream of law. The translation of the child just crossed earlier. Reminders of grandmother about the house, her soft breath blows on the silver hair, which rests patiently on the maroon velvet cushion and her modest stool in the rosary corner. Reminders of grandmother in the depths of the mirror, which hangs in the hall for the last 50 years. I'm reminded of her more and more as each day goes by, as I see the lines on my clay multiply.
Grandmother, can you sing bait dog me? Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Hardy.
I had to live here tonight with all these people to speak to languages. They should come to the professor. Well done, brilliant. This is called On Me. I was so bored of the bystanders. Bring out a purpose for your existence. Gaze out windows at spring's resurrection. Bells are rung on time at priestly insistence, and you wait for God at the next election. Even daffodils have their moments of splendor. Fall with grace, leave their seeds with silent sadness. Here are we watching rain feeding thistle, passing time as crimes or madness. We are blooded daffodils without our moments. Thank you.
Next up, another O'Bale Err. Fisher Walsh.
Don't mind me, Billy. I just was quite domestic. I knew long ago she would never reply, never return until so recently. Arrived too late and caught the meeting fine. Rising and followed, and soundless advice went in pot. We had for tea, the next story, and rejoicing in the text. Deluded for the first time in a life to chill. Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! The sacred heart looks more forlorn and less on. The holy candle wedded the last. The only reminder of how we have. And a Roman vessel in essence remains rise. Its poisoned pages exhibit a rusty purgatory in a sense. Horsemen and barrels stand up as fragments of our time. Jesus died on the cross, rose from slavery. One required service, bring out your dead. Puzzled around a tasteful shrine of high-tech and traditional values. Blind in hindsight to the call, bring out your dead. This one's called Madonna Child. She's coming downstairs with the star of sea in her head and less likely in her heart where it should be. By rights it came down to see what was happening. But I got a fright. Nothing prepared me for it, I thought. There was something in her heart that reached out and touched mine. Cynical as ever, I put it down to what I ate. Something is very wrong, but what does it matter when the door is closed? She's only here for an hour anyway. In my head I put her where she belongs, in a picture of flower fields, or my favourite, the pastures of home. Now I want to be everywhere with her, over and above a sense of time and place. But there's common sense to think of, gentle glow. Half an hour passes, she disappears at 6 more. I sit on the sofa with the video on, but I don't follow. It's too much love.
Yeah, thanks, Trish. Thanks very much. And next up is Grant, please.
Good Fisher wrote this entirely in Irish. It's not true at all.
And this is a translation, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I figured you guys already know. So I'm not going to, you know. No, I was standing in front of my house, and I saw a dog, and he was on a leash, and it made me think of a lot of things, but I couldn't think of a better metaphor for it. I really wanted to, because it sounds a little trite, so, but either way, here it is. And like the dog on the leash, I'm choking on my own excitement, deciding to yell helpless when my feet do the running, but the braid stays at a march. And like the dog on the leash, I never think to cut the rope and run, at last breathing to that place where stains the wall my name and echoes, throwing shadows, but I will not come. And at the pleas of men in the alley, I'll say no, when they forget their leashes in dark water made for sleep. I'll say no, no going back with eyes clear like mine, when the bloodshot struggle looms too close behind, when the heart came to life, so sleeps for now the mind. No dreaming of the darkness when the nightmare, when the nighttime comes to life. But like the dog on the leash, I see the streets and sky. Her house, your house, and mine. Behind back where I cannot turn is a rope on which my soul has been hung.
Thanks. Grant Burgess, isn't that your name?
Yeah.
How did you know? I remember it from that. It just came to me there, but
that's a great memory.
Yeah.
He has a great memory.
Yeah.
As you
both
forget.
Well, I am quite unforgettable.
You are quite unforgettable. Yeah. So, let's get it, mate. No, it's not. We can't end anything without Antipy. Come on up.
Yay!
Okay. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Last week I gave a translation of a Scottish Gaelic song, and this week I'm doing the same, but I'm not going to sing it. Largely
because come on. You know you
Largely because I don't really know the words. I just came across it recently. I try rehearsing just to give it an idea what it's like. But if I fuck up the words, you'll know, you know anyway. Apart from Paul. It's kind of a sea shanty in a way. On ní a bhan a níting, go níc mi ib a rán. Go valam an gan a chíra, ar tíber tír na ngál. Le bagan lán a chacan ar a sradam na bagán. Go falam an gan a bliúr a dúr a dher an grán. The killing yari me cosfrish there and bach a fad a moor. Bala dan na nashuk son na nashuk son loch moor. Vash fuach da ma chasin na des bashter der ma chor. And that I wouldn't back those words. It's not a great thing, but I, as people know, I've read a lot of sonnets because I like the sonnet form. Also like the ballad form, and the Scots are great at the ballads. Like the King He is in Dunfermline time, drinking the blood of red wine, and where are you at the sail of the sail, the ship of mine. I think it's a great narrative poetry. And the problem with ballads is that, you know, some of it can work very well, and then you get very clunky lines as well. So you forgive the clunky lines, but it tells a story. It's called The Voyage of Lochmore. The tale I'm going to tell you, and I can tell no more, is how we tried to leave the island through wind and rain and showers, while bags stuffed full of chickens and every kind of junk, to spend a brand new year there, as scuttered as a skunk. I rode up on Wednesday morning, grabbed my right back in my hand to head for Loch Amadi and the Lochmore on the strand. The cold had numbed my leggies, the snow crushed down the heath. I will never forget that terror under the drawing of my last breath. And when we reached the smithy, a kind man welcomed us and showed us love and caring and strove to quench our thirst. He dried us by the fire, put our arse for an inch the stove, and sent us forth into the night with dry warm shoes and clothes. The motor took us on our way on roads potholed and rough, and we spent some time in Carsavog, drowning more of the hard stuff. When we reached the rocky shore and saw the anger on our lee, we knew it would be utter mad to set forth upon the sea. No sooner had we then set forth than the spitting foam took o'er, and we wished so madly for the bone-dry white of shore. I was just like all the rest, scared shitless we would drown, and the drink I drank in Carsavog I struggled to keep down. A southeast wind that blasted us, no sign that it might slack. We churned and reached and gawked and puked and left our guts upon the deck. Our bark had plunged into the depths, the sea had swelled up high, and we prayed and screamed and prayed that our end, it was not nigh. That was a wretched, wretching night we spent upon the boat, while God and luck and prayers unknown kept us tossedly afloat. And when we reached Loch Boystall in the wind and sleety gale, I made my escape from the battered wreck as from penal servitude and jail. But I go home tomorrow, and in my bed I sleep, because it might have been that I had slept beneath the vasty deep. And I go home tomorrow, and a bottle I will share with friends, companions, neighbours, and all of us who were there. And we will wash our gullets down, knowing it might have been much, so much worse. But that wreck of a boat that saw us home, not one of us will curse.
Oh!
Hey!
Don't remember that. I'm going to say, Condera, we still have a couple of minutes left, right? So, we have dinner one and there, another mic, right? A man, I don't have to introduce you, but anyway. I'm going to confer your question here, Paul Casey.
Yay!
Alright, Paul O'Connor,
I haven't done. Thankfully. I'm going to be a bit cheeky and read you three times three quatrains. It comes down to 108 lines of poetry. It's a very sacred number out in the East. Because in about 15 minutes from now, it's actually going to be a love reader, right? It's going to be spring. Is that right?
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway.
Tomorrow's
some of you have heard this. I'll try and get through as quickly as possible. Called Bridget, Queen of Bees.
Oh, nice.
At the alternate moment of conception, a meeting of ancient magic has given early birth in bulk to a queen bee of great breeding. Born in the smallest of hours, before daybreak, Bridget rose into the sky to meet the sun, rays of fire streaming out from her tiny, inquisitive brow. Infant, Bridget was fed on the milk of a sacred cow from the other worlds, where her apple orchard bees now nestle, gathering her heavenly nectar. When you look back through the memory of rivers, Bridget, you may wonder why the first breeze breathed about beneath the slow, stretching sun, and at three, when you're waving your Bridget's cross, at nine, laying your Bordeaux on Bridget's bed, 27, gathering firewood for the last winter, or even at 108, dreaming of a sleeping Kalia, the birth of spring. May you be that herald of light, Bridget, who buzzes on, regenerating, as bees do, life, along the blessed banks of rivers, and hang up your cloak on the rays of the sun. For your name flows through the two brides of Cork, married to the Lee and Blackwater, and in the Bright and the Brent of neighbouring Wales and England. You are named, Bridget, for a poet, worshipped by poets in the oral tradition. Bride in Scotland, Brigitte en France, Brigantia in England and Spain, Bride in Wales, Brie on the Isle of Man, Breeder, Breed, Bridey, Brigida, Brig, Brigondu, also a Celtic name, Breo, Sight, Bright Arrow, Bright One, Powerful One, High One, a fiery arrow let loose by the royals of the Cure Day Down. Her mother, you should know, is the Morrigan, herself a triple goddess of high renown. Her daddy is the Dagda, the patriarch of Celts, for 80 years, the High King of Ireland. Bridget is the sister to Rhiannon, the horse goddess, Epona, sister to Bide, the war goddess, sister to Ogma, the god of eloquence, music, magic, and poetry, sister also to Bob Dog and Midir, the gods of war and the underworld, half sister to Angus Ogh, the god of youth, sister, and sister to us all. Unlike other triple goddesses, as in the Greek tradition, where she is maiden, matron, and crone, virgin, mother, and hag, Irish Breed is a triple goddess of fire. Bridget, fire of a hearth, is goddess of fertility, childbirth, door healing, Bridget, fire of the forge, his goddess of weaving, embroidery, and smithing, a glowing goddess imbued, shining with justice, law, and order. Bridget, fire of inspiration, is the muse of poetry, history, and song, protector of all cultural learning, the goddess of most high things, of high-rising flames, of highlands and hillforts, of wisdom, excellence, perfection, of intelligence, druidry, and warfare. Her name was given to the saints, for she is a goddess of light, of compassion, of inspiration, once foster mother, it is said, to the infant Jesus. One day, Bridget, you may find in you an affinity to the vibrant spirits of fire, to sparks, sudden flames, to shooting stars, to nightlights, candles, and sunrise. You may begin one day, Bridget, to hear the memories of springs and wells, of poetry, whistling, embroidery, of bells, thresholds, and doorways. You may well find yourself dreaming, Bridget, of lambs, dairy cows, and cockerels, of owls, serpents, and bees, and of creatures waking from hibernation. For Bridget heralds the first day of spring, the milk of pregnant ewes, the sacredness of motherhood, the very life force sustained and nourished. For Bridget is trailed lightly by spirits of acorn and oak, of dandelion, the triplet petals of snowdrops, crocus, and trillium, the nourishing promise of oats, pumpkin, and corn. For Bridget dances in the scent of heather, of wisteria, violets, and lavender, of lemon beebrush, heliotrope, chamomile daisies, of anemone coronaria, broom, shamrock, rushes, sage, and straw. For all the field's flowers, Bridget draws lights from gold, silver, carnelian, from agate, copper, and amethyst, from jasper and lapis lazuli crystal, to bring brightness wherever you go. For wherever you live, there is light, Bridget, yes. You are the dawn of warmth, the keeper of bees, the slow dilating strength of the sun. Sunshine.
Oh, hello.